The first reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive, after his suffering, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from, from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text for this evening is Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. It is the text for Ascension Day. The sermon title is, Jesus lifted up his hands and bless them. At this time of year, we normally see graduations in educational institutions. In secondary and higher education, the graduation of seniors brings about the donning of the traditional black gown and mortarboard by the graduates. This is matched by the faculty with their donning of academic gowns of all types and colors, along with their berets, caps, and varieties of academic regalia. Location of the graduation is usually the largest auditorium, gymnasium, or playing field on campus. The ceremonies include the final words to the graduates from the president or dean of faculty. The faculty, we know, will stay at the school, while the graduates will move away into the wider world. The events of Ascension Day, which we just heard in our gospel lesson for this evening, were a type of graduation. The apostles were the students. The location of their graduation was the hilly Mount of Olives, with the walls and pinnacles of Jerusalem in the background. Jesus, their teacher, was the only faculty member in his academy. The most important part of the graduation was the final words to the graduates from Jesus, their master teacher. Instead of the student moving away into the wider world, the faculty left and moved into the wider cosmos. The reports of the Ascension of our Lord are found in Mark 16:19-20, our text in Luke 24:44-53, and Acts 1:3-14. We will focus on the account in Luke, but refer to the others as needed. The events of Ascension Day began with Jesus and his disciples assembled in private somewhere in Jerusalem. There he gave his final words to them, which Luke records only in part. When Jesus finished his final speech to them, he led them to the vicinity of Bethany, Luke 24:50, which was a village on the sprawling Mount of Olives. Jesus lifted his hands to bless his apostles and other disciples, just as your pastor blesses you at the end of the divine service. While in the process of blessing them, Luke reports that he was taken up into heaven, Luke 24:51. Unlike other times when Jesus simply disappeared, this time the disciples could see where he was going up and up, until a cloud hid him from their sight, Acts 1:9. Do you remember the space launches many years ago from Cape Canaveral, later known as Cape Kennedy? I remember them. I never got to see the launches in person in Florida, but I watched almost all of the launches on TV. Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and the early space shuttles. The TV camera showed not only the spacecraft and its support platforms, but also the crowds of people gathered on the beach or other places that were watching the liftoff. Everybody there at Cape Canaveral was looking intently, some with binoculars or telescopes, others with cameras and home movie cameras, watching the amazing sight of all that hardware and technology lifting off the ground, gaining speed, getting smaller and smaller and smaller, until only the highest optical zoom lens could see the rocket and its exhaust barreling into outer space and orbit. Although Jesus didn't take off in a rocket, the apostles and the bystanders witnessed his departure from the earth into the sky, not unlike the folks at Cape Canaveral. This was not in a private place or out in the desert. It was near Bethany, so everybody in that village and the people nearby would have witnessed Jesus' ascension if they had been looking. The disciples and the apostles and some bystanders continued to watch as Jesus went up and up. just as the spectators at Cape Canaveral kept watching the rocket until they couldn't see it any longer. After Jesus passed into the cloud, the small crowd of people were still looking up there, waiting to see him emerge from the cloud, when two angels appeared next to them and asked the people, "Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And thus concluded the events of Ascension Day. What is the meaning of these events for us today? First, and perhaps most obvious, is that Jesus was no longer here on earth in the normal physical way after his ascension. Jesus could have just disappeared from their sight, like Bilbo Baggins did at the beginning of The Lord of the Rings. But then, Jesus' disciples would never have been sure about what happened to him. In addition, the ascension makes clear what happened to his body after his death. Religious people of many types have had the habit of preserving the bones and other relics of their saints and founders after they die. Jesus' ascension into heaven is clear proof to the church that no one, no church, no cathedral, no shrine can claim to have Jesus' bones or the relics of his body anywhere in this world. Second, the words of the angels must command our attention when they said, "Jesus will come back in the same way you seem to go into heaven." Jesus had taught his disciples the same. For example, he said, "The Son of Man is going to come back in his Father's glory with his angels." That's Matthew 16:27. But you can also look at Matthew 24, verse 30, Mark 13:26, and Luke 21, verse 27. What the angels clarify on Ascension Day is the method of Jesus' return. On Ascension Day, Jesus ascended visibly and publicly into heaven. At his return, Jesus will descend visibly and publicly from heaven. St. John writes, quote, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him." Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. The Nicene Creed confesses this with the phrase, "And he will come again with glory." Third, lest we wonder what Jesus is doing in heaven today, he had previously told his disciples, quote, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." John 14:1-3. Thus, for the last 2,000 years, Jesus has been working to design and build a place where his children, that is, those who believe and are baptized, can be with him forever. Now, if you count all the Christians, and before that, the believers in Yahweh in the Old Testament, you know that place is going to be big as an entire planet. St. John in his vision says, quote, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." Revelation 21:1-2. That means that Jesus is preparing a new earth that is more beautiful than you can imagine, with gardens, lakes, animals, gathering places for people, music, everything, far surpassing the beauty and wonder of architects today of resorts, estates, and luxury homes. Fourth, when Jesus promised his disciples in Matthew 28:20, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age," it means that Jesus is not just busy preparing our heavenly home, but he is also present among his believers today. He said the same in Matthew 18:20, quote, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Do you believe that? Or do you believe that Jesus is only in heaven? There's no doubt that there is a paradox here, but it's not an irresolvable paradox. The Lutheran theologians of the 16th century resolved this paradox in the Formula of Concord, Article 8. We won't read that whole thing today, but I recommend it to you if you wonder how Lutherans figured out this paradox of Jesus being on earth and in heaven at the same time. That Article 8, Formula of Concord, begins with these words, quote, "When Dr. Luther maintained, with solid arguments, the true essential presence of the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper on the basis of the words of institution, the Zwinglians countered by saying that the body of Christ could not be a true and genuine human body if it were present at the same time in heaven and in the Holy Supper on earth, since such majesty belongs to God alone, and the body of Christ is incapable of it." That's Formula of Concord, Solid Declaration 8, Section 2. The Reformed theologians denied that the body of Christ possesses the majesty of God, and on that basis they said that Jesus could not be present here on earth, and they still believe this to this day. Lutherans ignore the philosophical arguments of the Reformed and other Protestants who follow them, and we simply accept Jesus' words at face value when he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." What more comfort can we find than this, that Jesus is preparing our home in heaven, but at the same time is still here with us in a special way in the Lord's Supper, and where two or three believers are gathered together in his name. May the comfort of Jesus' presence and his future return be with you always. In our ascended Lord's name, amen.